with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 11 made their way to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had summoned them. At the sight of the risen Christ, they fell down in homage, though some had doubted what they were seeing. Jesus came forward and addressed them in these words: "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of Abba God, and the Only Begotten One, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The good news of salvation. Of the Holy Trinity. I have to say, after Pentecost, this is about one of my favorite feasts, and so it's really neat that it just kind of fell that I got to preach today, because I love the Holy Trinity and the expression of the Holy Trinity, and it has very special meaning. Three persons, one God. You know, how many of us had different images as we were taught in school? You know, one hand, three fingers on the one hand. We have a three-leaf clover. We have all kinds of ways to try and understand what is truly mysterious, that this wonderful, almighty, divine God in one has three expressions that we each can see if we look from a different angle. Our Creator, our beloved source of our being, Jesus, His begotten Son, His Word with Him from all time, and the Spirit that exudes from both of them and holds and brings to us and brings inside of us the burning love of Jesus for the Father for Jesus, and them for us, the Holy Trinity. So, three but one, a mystery and so simple. What does it mean to be one? Practically speaking, what does it mean for the three expressions of God to be one? And what does it mean for us as church to be one? In today's gospel, we're given what's called the Great Commission, the command of the risen Jesus before his ascension to go out and spread the good news, bringing people into the kingdom of love to which Jesus brought each of us. Some of us do that through our words and our teaching. Some do it by example. Some want to know how we can do it more and better, ever growing in our responsiveness to this call. This is our call as a unified church. Exploring how to live and become a unified church in a world full of and rife with division, separation, and a lack of connection is crucial for us as a church today. How do we best expand our oneness as church? John the disciple, we know as the disciple that Jesus loved, John writes of the intimate prayer of Jesus to his Abba Father just before his crucifixion. Maureen's helped graciously pass around excerpts from this prayer. We talked a little bit about it a couple weeks ago when I preached, but this I've pulled down and kind of melted Jesus' words of in the prayer about unity and his prayer for us to become one. So I'd like to pause speaking myself now and allow Jesus' words and Jesus' prayer to be prayed through each one of us, and invite you to pray together with me out loud this prayer. And you'll find it on the one side of the half sheet of paper that was just passed around. Jesus' prayer for unity. Holy Father, keep those you have given me true to your name, so that they may be one like us. I pray not only for these, but for those who through their words will believe in me. May they all be one, Father. May they be one in us, as you are in me and I am in you, so that the world may believe it was you who sent me. Father, I want these to be with me where I am, with me in them and you in me. May they be so completely one that the world will realize it was you who sent me, and that I have loved them as much as you have loved me. Thank you. Doesn't this prayer sound like it is filled with Jesus passionately asking that we be filled with the presence of God, that we dwell in the love shared between the Father and the Son, that the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and that we become so completely one that people will be seen and drawn to be a part of it? And is that not the great commission given by Jesus, that we be so completely one in God and Jesus that people will notice and be drawn to us and to want to join and will be wholly welcomed by us when they arrive? Exploring how to live and become a unified church in the world of division, separation, and lack of connection is crucial for us today. So how do we best expand our oneness as a church? Well, I spent some time thinking of that, and I came up with a few ways, and there are questions on the back of the Jesus prayer we just prayed together that are some of the prayers that I address in my reflections, and that I invite you to take home and reflect on this week in your prayer time. First, we expand our oneness as a church by grounding ourselves in prayer, just as Jesus did, pouring out our soul's desire and drawing near to God daily in prayer. Next, we expand our oneness, our call to unity, by remembering who God is and how God has called us from the very beginning to be and live in this moment of time, right now, together. This is what we see in our first reading, a recollection of God's intimate, continual acts throughout history to pursue us, to bless us, and to be in relationship with each of us, all of us here, in this place, together today. Excuse me. We expand our oneness also by recalling and celebrating often the core of the things that hold us together as one. For instance, we all hold that God made us, that God calls us, that God is a living God present here and now, that none of us earned this love. It comes to us freely and without cost. God loves us first in a totally unmerited way. God's love is freely given, available to all, includes all, and we each seek to live life in this reality. Fourth, unity or oneness requires the acknowledgement of differences and unique gifts and strengths. We don't have to be the same or all alike to be one. As a matter of fact, the more different we are, the more we can complement each other, augment each other, and become one and work well together. It's okay and wonderful to be unique and different from one another. All are welcome and all belong, not because we are like each other, but because we love each other as we are. And we want the best for each other, and we want to help each become their own unique and best self, the one that God created us to be. Oneness or unity doesn't mean that we are the same. Just like God, we are each a mystery, and we are continually growing in our understanding of our very selves, and we help each other in doing this by respecting and enriching one another in our differences instead of trying to all be and do the same thing. The fifth thing that I think that we need to do to strive for oneness is to recognize and have a plan for when the bonds of unity or oneness are tested, weakened, or at risk. What can strengthen us when our oneness is weakened or threatened by misunderstanding and hurt? Pausing, reflecting, engaging in honest communication, listening, and hearing. Understanding that the break in oneness is not necessarily about us can be very important. Often when there is a break, we take it personally. And sometimes that is our biggest mistake. It's not always about us. I think of a time when Jesus himself unthinkingly broke the unity of his family. Yes, Jesus unthinkingly broke the unity of his family. For example, when he was first starting out as a 12-year-old, initially learning of and responding to his call to teach, helping people to know his Abba God. When Mary confronted him and basically scolded him for worrying her and Joseph for 3 days while they searched for him throughout the city of Jerusalem, what was Jesus' response? Mother, Father, it wasn't about you. Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? I was passionately discussing my Abba Father. I was doing what God wanted me to do. I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't even think about you, to be honest. Next comes the importance of compassion, suffering with, seeing through the eyes of another. Once Jesus realized how worried Mary and Joseph had been, I'm sure he apologized and promised to communicate better. And I imagine, wise parents that they were, Mary and Joseph said to Jesus that perhaps they need to realize he is growing up and has a calling and a need to have more time and space to follow God's calling. Mary and Joseph and Jesus left Jerusalem that day to return home to Bethlehem with a better and clearer understanding of each other. Jesus realized the need to be more considerate of his parents, who cared deeply and worried about him. And Mary and Joseph began to understand their need to begin to give Jesus more freedom to respond to God's call. They were more one because of this experience together and made whole through this life experience. Mary, Jesus, and Joseph were a more holy family because of this experience and how they handled a potentially fracturing thing for their family. So, the last thing that I'd like you to think about is that unity or oneness requires the assumption of positive intent. If we are hurt or offended when someone is broken, begin by assuming positive intent, that the hurt was not meant, intended, or coming from a mean place. We are human and fallible and make mistakes and need to ask for and receive forgiveness. Just like a human bone, when broken, goes back together stronger at the break than it had been before, our unity and oneness can become stronger as we hurt and heal, and move forward together in our call to oneness and unity in the body of Christ. This is especially true as we recognize and treasure our unity and connectedness to God above all else. This requires us to remember how important our unity and oneness is, to treat it with importance, to handle it with kid gloves, to work for it, to foster it. Unity and oneness does not just happen. It requires intentional growth and expansion, as it was with God, and we see each other in our readings today, that our triune God, our understanding of God and one another in our walk with God, must be constantly expanding, growing, embracing, and including with great intentionality, for it is our very nature and the nature of God to continue expanding. So let us promise and pledge ourselves to this ever more inclusive, expanding vision of love, of God, of wholeness and holiness, as we continue to live, work, and walk, creating the kingdom of God that God has in store for each and every one here.